right, and welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Snack Time with Mike and Ant. I'm one of your co-hosts, Ant Testor, a writer of names and flavor text for Wizard of the Coast and articles at Gathering Magic.
Me,
as always, interrupting me as always, the one and only super flavorful master of weens, Mike Linneman. And joining us today from sunny New Jersey, the only other Mike contacted my Skype, because right now I only have two effing contacts in my Skype, Mike Burns.
Sure. Of course they're both Mike.
Of course we both are. So for people that don't know, Mike Burns is an artist, clearly, for Magic the Gathering, clearly. And we figured, you know, it's been a while since we sat down with an artist, and we're like, Mike's good people. I saw him at IlexCon. Why don't we have him on? What are we doing? So we're going to go through, find out about Mike, find out about his background, all sorts of other weird stuff that he can teach us. But as always, episodes are under 30 minutes, so we got to get into it. Flavor jams, boom, hitting it hot. Ant, start us out, and then we'll go Mike and then Mike. How does that sound?
I think we should go Mike and then Ant and then Mike, so that it's an ant sandwich between two Mikes.
That works for me.
You've literally waited all day for that.
Didn't
you? You really did. I'll start this out. Okay, I'll start this out. So, Mike, you've listened to it before, so you know the basic concept. And I'm picking best in show, particularly the Baeloth version, mind you. It's literally coming out right now in Unstable.
Wait,
and,
what do you mean for people that... version? What are you talking about?
Okay, so even funnier... Ant Tessitore, co-host, just found out that Unstable has different artworks and flavor texts, like, 2 minutes ago. Literally 2 minutes ago. Ant was like, what? Huh? And I'm like, it's like Fallen Empires. He's like, what? So Ant kind of lives in a cave.
This established.
And it literally is Fallen Empires again, where you had the different artworks. But here, it's by the same artist. So I chose... the best in show, the beast in show. I'm all about those puppers. And it's a Baeloth, nostalgic throwback. Get into that. As long as we have that right here, we'll talk about those in a minute. But otherwise, I think it's lovely. I think it's a lovely little piece. I think it's fun to keep everything the same in the background, other than the animal on top, which I live tweet dog shows, which makes me laugh every time I get to see them and find a crowd favorite. It's always good. Mm-hmm. But the different flavor text is great to see, too. It'd be nice if an artist could play off each one, but sometimes you do. Sometimes
wait,
you.
So was that your, Mike, was that your idea then to put the collar and the leash on this Baeloth? Or was that part of the art description?
Basically, the art description they described each creature type that they wanted for each of the four versions. But basically, it was up to me to fit that into, like, the dog show theme. So for each one, I tried to come up with, like, a different way to approach it, to just add a little more fun to it and just try and mix it up between them.
Right.
And, like, just have
fun.
So
we have Froofy, Poodle Hair, Gnarled.
Gnarled.
We have the Gnasher, right? Is that what they're called? From Mirrodin? Those, like, T-Rex things? What were those things called? It just dominated Standard. That's all I remember about, like, Return to Mirrodin Standard. The thing that was dominating was, like, a dinosaur.
Yeah, I think it was, like, a Tyrannix or
Tyrannix,
something.
Yeah.
Something close to that.
Yeah. Could be a tier. We're going full Seth right now. Yeah. And then what were the other two? You got the Baeloth, obviously, the picks here for the flavor gem.
And then the last one, the kind of oxen one, that was referencing, like, Thragtusk, yeah, and the token it makes.
Yeah, I just got it from the crooked
because
horns
it's
in its mouth, right? That's like that.
Well, it's like the 3-3-3, obviously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's neat.
You're probably thrown off a little by the bangs and pigtails. So I'm
yeah,
sure.
That's all I kept looking at. I kept looking at the little red bows, and I'm like, what is this? What plane is this from? Little red bows.
My favorite part about this one that you probably aren't going to be able to see at card size is I thought it would be fun to throw in like one little detail that was only on one of the versions. So in this version with the oxen, he's actually like removing the hat from the judge.
Oh, I see. I see. It's in his mouth.
They're just, he's just wearing it.
Oh my God. I see that. That's great. That's super funny. Well, fun concept. And well done, of course.
Thank you.
Since we're making a Mike sandwich, Ant next, what do you got for us?
All right. So my flavor gem is Party Crasher. And I picked this one for two reasons. One, obviously the art, because it's awesome, because it's a dude doing the Kool-Aid Man strut through a wall with a chainsaw arm, just blasting his way into a dinner party, which I gotta love. And to top off this card, the flavor text is like that direct reference to Akroma in No Rest, No Mercy, but No Reservations. And I can't help but read this in that Anthony Bourdain, like, No Reservations voice every time in my head. So I absolutely love this card. I can't wait to draft it, smash it on the table, crash some parties.
Yeah, it's gonna be so much fun to just be like, don't mean to crash your party, but
but Party Crash
coming in hot. So how did you sketch this compared to, you know, because obviously it's breaking through a wall. What went through your mind and how to show this?
They were in the art description, they were definitely like very heavy on the chaos. One of the ideas in the description that I tried to work in at the sketch level was you see how there's like a hole in the wall in the background?
Yeah.
Originally they were going to have it like it would be the outline of the creature, kind of like a Wile E. Coyote type thing running through the wall.
Sure.
But I think it was just like so much trouble to have that crazy silhouette read at such a tiny space.
Right.
So what did you look at? What was your reference for the chairs? Like,
They mentioned that they just wanted to have like a fancy Victorian style, like tea party going on. So I did my own research for, the chairs and, just tried to find something fancy and
nice
stuff like that.
I like the guy with the mustache. He looks great.
He's like, oh my.
Just a dude in a corner kicking it, like Inspector Gadget style.
Yeah. I had fun with the, little, like a extendy arm looping around, trying to save the teacup.
Yeah, trying to make it fit, and then you have the tea like spilling out of it. Like that's such a minor detail, but you know, on a print or on a large thing, it totally
comes
through.
What's in the background? Is it a safe?
Yeah. I figured since in the description they asked for agents of sneak, we're going to be the ones at this party. So I'm like, I should probably have like something fancy on the wall to fill the space, like. But then I decided, oh, let's just have a safe just out in the open. Just to kind of play around with that.
Nice.
Just
agents.
Just
of, no, but that's perfect. Yeah. Agents of sneak. Like, yeah. Oh, just, there's nothing. Yeah, there's nothing here.
instead of behind like a framed painting,
it's
the safe itself.
Yeah,
is
it's
framed.
A framed safe.
It's framed.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
That's funny. That's really funny.
All right, I dig it. We got one more. Mike, what are you going to pick yourself?
For myself, I'm going to pick the handy dandy clone machine.
Okay, cool.
It started as an artifact card in the description that it's a cloning device, and they were very specific in the description of the creature being hand-like, but not exactly a hand. So that was a pretty interesting challenge to tackle. I have another sketch that I did of this that I'll probably post online at some point. But basically between those two, it was just like playing around with either like this one was like super fleshy and just trying to focus on like the silhouette of like the two fingers and the quasi thumb.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of a nubby situation.
But like, so, I mean, this is a really common thing that, you know, you make, you used to do this in grade school, like you make a little person on the desk out of your hand, and that's very obviously what the mechanic is making you do. So in the art description, did they tell you that that's what you were painting, or did you read the mechanic and go, oh, well, I should paint a homunculus that looks like someone's hand, like walking across the table?
They actually don't tell you the mechanics in the art descriptions, at least none of the cards that I've gotten at this point. So actually, when I saw how the card worked when it came out in previews, like, I got like super excited all over again.
Oh my God,
for this.
That's insane.
Really?
I thought it was like, I wonder if they changed the mechanic to fit your art, because that's either stupid lucky, like really ridiculously lucky, or you submitted the art and they're like, oh my God, that's totally this game. We should make.
If I
make the card just be that game.
I think if I had to guess, based on how detailed the art description was, it sounds like they probably had that in mind from the start.
Wow. Okay. Word. That's crazy.
But that's just a guess for me.
I'm surprised they didn't just send you a picture of like someone's hand on a desk, like paint this.
Well, I wound up. What's going to be really fun for me with this one is I just used my left hand for this. So when I go out and play Unstable, hopefully I can get a hold of this card and I get to use the model as the
yours
token.
Yours should be legendary.
Yeah. I'll probably draw a little eye on my hand.
Nice.
Also, just the
painted blue during the day. Why do you have a blue hand? Don't worry about it.
While he's at work, like at the water cooler, like don't worry about it. I'm drafting tonight. Just don't worry about it.
Oh, you've never heard of magic? Oh, well then.
This is the homunculus.
Oh, okay. Yes. So for people that haven't heard of you, like I know you from some time now, in a few years here.
Yeah, I've followed you guys since the start of your show. I've been a fan of you guys longer than I've been a magic artist. So
I knew you before that even.
Yeah.
from people that don't know, back when I was art directing, I literally worked with Mike then.
Yeah.
And the part of it is that you really get green skins in quote, goblins, orcs. It exudes like, I don't know. It just comes so easy to you where other people really struggle with the anatomy to make right. And you're just like, oh yeah, big old nose, weird teeth. I'm in it. No big deal. And it's a hard thing to teach people. So that's why you tend to not find people that can deviate from that. So like maybe a landscape person can make people, but they can't make the humanoid. It's forced. So I'm really excited to see that over time and being like, wow, you've gotten good. Wow, you've gotten great. Wow, well, this totally fits. You're doing incredibly well here. So that's really exciting for me. But for people that don't know, like, who are you? Where do you live? Well, how did you get here? We'd love to hear.
Well, I'm originally from my hometown is Philadelphia, PA. I'm not going to finish the rest of the song, so you can finish that. But and then I went up to school at Syracuse University, where I majored in illustration. And that's actually where I got into magic. One of my friends who then became one of my roommates, he was into magic really a lot before he got there. And then he just kind of got me and all my friends into magic right around, what was it, around like Time Spiral, Lorwyn?
Oh, wow.
Around that time? Yeah, sure. It was around the 2007.
Sure.
So, and I played a little here and there back then, but honestly, like, after I graduated, like, was when I really got into magic, like, just as, like, a pretty big hobby. And, like, I just really, like, fell in love with the lore. And, like, right around the time of, like, Innistrad and just seeing, like, how, like, layered everything got, where it was just super cool to me.
Okay, so from that, you played the game. Which some artists actually do play, and that does actually happen, where you can play a late night commander game with an artist at a GP, which is incredibly fun.
Yeah.
What became the point when you were maybe in school where you were like, I think I can do this? Like, was there ever like a moment that you saw maybe maybe an artwork from Innistrad, or you saw something in Lorwyn and you're like, dang, maybe Mike Burns can do that. I don't know why you talked to yourself in the third person, but you did. was there ever like a pivotal moment that's like, this is the trajectory, I know it's going there?
I think just like at the time I was like, oh man, Magic's so cool, like I would love to just be a part of it. Like, and eventually, like, I knew, like, as long as I keep making the right steps and just keep just bringing myself closer and closer to doing whatever I can, like, I would eventually make it. And so finally, like, after many years, my time's finally, like, come around. But, and it's still hard to believe I'm even, like, in it now. Like, it's so crazy to see my name, like, on a card.
That's what I wanted to ask you about, because, I mean, I can remember this was not that long ago, like, under 3 years ago, when I did my first, like, names and flavor text, and I opened my first booster pack in the parking lot of like a Target, and you know, opened a card that I wrote, and it was just like such a surreal, like crazy moment. And I'm just wondering if you have experienced, like, have you experienced opening one of your cards from Amonkhet, and like, what was that like for you to just totally live that?
Yeah.
What was most likely a fantasy you had from when you were a fan of the game, and now it's totally real. Like, what was that like?
Well, for a while, it just didn't quite feel real, because actually Unstable was the very first thing I worked on, but then I worked on Amonkhet afterwards, and so it was kind of weird to see, like, my Amonkhet card get released before the very first work I did. So it, like, it was a weird mix of, like, being super excited to see, like, my first card, Soulstinger. And then also, like, but there's all this other stuff that, like, has just been hidden away that I still can't even, like, talk about at the time. But, like, to finally actually, like, open my card in a pack was crazy. Like, I was so happy that it wound up being, like, a common and pretty good and limited, because I started drafting at an LGS recently, and I kept seeing a bunch of them around the table and got excited every time. So super cool.
Yeah, it's gotta be even more crazy for an artist, because your name is right there. It's on the card. You know, it's not like, you know, I have cards out there where I have flavor text and nobody knows. I have to be that guy who's like, oh, hey, I wrote that, or blah, 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 you know, and then I just feel like an idiot.
Yeah, you gotta pull up your website.
Yeah, like, no, I swear to God, like, this is me. Like, I'm not lying. But you, someone else could draft the card, and they'd be like, yo, Mike, this artist has the same name as you. And you'd be like, no, that's me, dummy.
Yeah.
So do you ever do that when it was quiet still, when maybe not everybody knew when you could draft, and then you just big time someone? Like, did that happen? You're like, I'm gonna sign this real quick, like... Just
not yet. I don't, I'm too shy to do something. Yeah,
that'd be so amazing in the middle of like a draft.
You gotta,
someone like takes their sleeve out. You're like, hold up quick. I gotta
you
sign
gotta,
this.
Like, draft the
artist
needs
to sign
deck,
it.
Deck, beat somebody with a soul stinger, sign it, throw it at him, walk away.
Signed card. No big deal.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're in it now, but how? Yes, you went to school, you became better, you worked on other brands previously, you know, maybe smaller brands, less than Magic brands, and, you know, worked up skills to get there. But what was the thing? Because you're one of the newest people. I mean, it's different to ask John Avon, how did you get here? And he's like, man, it was the 90s. I don't remember. But you were recent. Did you submit to Art Drop and they're like, go, Mike? Or was it like an acclamation? Was it a portfolio review that finally? I mean, was it bribes of chocolate? Like, what was the thing?
It's a long story that takes place over many years. But to try and not get too long-winded
Wait,
on
it's,
it,
it's fine, man. We have 30 minutes. You can go as long as you
30
want.
30 minutes yeah. Only. All episodes under 30 minutes.
Oh yeah.
To but be fair, we let Ant Scott really Waters talk for like 2 hours and didn't interrupt him once.
Yeah, we really did.
Oh, wow.
But the big thing is that artists want to know. It's so easy to say, oh, I got better and then I finally got there. Well, okay, that doesn't help anybody. And frankly, it's never that easy. there's starts and stops, but there's usually like a moment that an art director will respond to an email or says, "You're almost there, man," or "You should try this or work on this skill set or something." Because otherwise, those things don't get out in the open. People don't know that unless they go to IlluxCon and you hear artists talking to each other about it. But if you don't go to Reading, Pennsylvania, which is west of Philly, born and raised, they never hear. And we literally are that conduit to that. So what was something? Maybe it'll take longer than 30 minutes, but give us a few.
Yeah. Well, basically, it just started as, like, I knew, like, I wanted to make magic, like, happen. Like, I knew I wanted to, like, be an illustrator for them.
Step one.
Yeah. It wasn't, like, one of those, like, it'd be nice to get magic. Like, no, it's, like, of all the clients I could get, like, magic was, like, the one that I wanted.
Okay.
And, basically, and there's so many people who want to work for Wizards and on Magic. So, like, and there's so many people, like, I've watched, like, grow alongside me, and I'm like, wow, they're awesome. How am I working for Magic and they're not working for Magic? Like, sure. And then that's still, like, a thing to, like, how do you stand out among so many people who want to try and work on the same thing? And basically, like, I think the thing for me was I went to, like, conventions and stuff. IlluxCon was a big one where I go to all the magic artists and show my portfolio around, tell them specifically, hey, like, I want to work for magic. Tell me what I need that you don't see in my portfolio, and then I'll do specifically that. So they tell me, oh, you need magic does this. You need to show them you can do this. So I'd spend the next few months working on that, then come back to them again. Hey, here's the changes with what you said. What's next? And then I'd work on that. And then it's just that rinse and repeat over and over until eventually, like, I got a hold of an art director at IlluxCon and wound up chatting with them and having some portfolio reviews and stuff. And they really, like, keyed me in. It was actually Cynthia Shepherd. She did a lot to really help me, like, close that gap between, like, wanting to work on magic and being ready for it.
Yeah, she's good. Turns out she's really good, too. Like, she's a decent artist. Like,
yeah, okay. Absolutely, yeah.
She's okay. So if you went to Magic Artist by Magic Artist, any advice that might have stuck out, like maybe Howard, you know, in his beard of wisdom, sat you down and mentioned one thing, or I don't know, maybe Aaron Miller gave you a nugget, anything that you could share that, you know, could be a little more public with folks.
I think the thing for, I know me just as an artist myself, like, I tend to, when I get feedback, I like to, sometimes you can make excuses for stuff. It's really easy to be like, oh, well, they said this, but I kind of like to do it this way, so I'm just going to do it that way. It's not a big deal. But then you have to consider the fact that, like, this isn't just like a portfolio piece. This is for a product that has certain requirements, it has certain needs that if you can't deliver, they just can't hire you. And if you keep avoiding the things that you need to, like, address those things, then you're just not gonna ever close that gap.
Yeah.
Interesting. So,
like, that's a great point, because, you know, when you're working for a product, I mean, any creative endeavor, you know, it's part of it is for you. Like, you'd be lying if you said it wasn't for you. Like, they're your children, right? But there's a difference between writing strictly for yourself or painting for yourself and painting for a game. Like, those are two totally different things. And you're absolutely right that, like, if you are unable to understand, like, look, this isn't for me. I'm not painting this for my wall. I'm painting this for a very specific reason. And that reason is to communicate mechanics, to fit into a world IP, to deliver a product. And, like, in that mindset, you're going to be so much more successful than you would be saying, like, hey, this line of flavor text is really witty and would be really funny, and I'm going to submit it. And it's like, well, does it, no, does it make the card better? Because if it doesn't, then don't submit it. Like, you're wasting time.
100%. So do you get time to work on personal work, or do you have your days filled?
When I have a magic commissions going on, I'm pretty much full because I have a day job on top of it. So it's basically like a day job during the day and then freelance at night and weekends. But so it keeps me pretty busy.
Day job?
And I always I work in New York City at an apparel company designing like t-shirts. So a lot of like licensed artwork and stuff. So
that's cool.
So I get to still be creative.
Right. With, I mean, but then again, when you get to work on magic and working until 3 a.m, I mean, that's kind of fun. I can imagine.
Yeah.
It's enjoyable.
Yeah, definitely. You can't complain too much. I mean,
no,
magic.
Not so much. So we had something come up this week in an article. And in that, when your art gets released, you know, we're talking about you jumping into the game and really soaking up. You're soaking up the culture. You're soaking up the community, which you're part of. And now you're like different. You're part of it, but it's different because you're an artist now. How do you see it from the opposite side as an artist? Like, how do you find out that your art came out and you actually trust the person that told you? You know?
Yeah. The transition from strictly magic fan to magic fan who works on the game has been it's been one of the more challenging parts of becoming a magic artist, to be honest.
Sure, how so?
Well, basically before I could just soak up everything and be like, oh man, isn't this so cool, this is great, and then I could like get super into everything and just like talk about whatever. But now, like, every time something gets released, I have to okay, what is actually out there? And also, like, as a, not that I see myself as like this big voice for magic or anything, but like my name is on the card, so like I have to be careful about like how I handle myself in like a public setting with other fans. And like I want to make sure I represent the magic brand well in,
which is different. It's different than any other brand. What other community of a brand you work on will there be rabid fans following you to post things? Like, that doesn't exist.
Like, yeah.
People scouring and waiting for a tip, something that they can get from you. And when you post an artwork, all of a sudden you just have like, boom, likes on Facebook. What's up? Just straight away. Mm-hmm. Out of left field, they just show up. Like, how is that not such an ego trip? That's incredible.
I'll be honest, I do indulge in the comments on online, but I think it's super fun to just see people get as excited as I am in the card. Like, most of the time they're not even talking about the art, and it's just excited to see people get excited for this thing that I had a part in. Like, it's funny because I'll read all this stuff about, oh, this card's mechanics is great, I can't wait to do it with this and this card. And then they're like, art's okay too. I'm like, that's great.
Dang it. But you also find those things where I'm sure you have the fan and they're like, I need this. Can I buy the painting? And then you get to tell them, well, it's digital, so I can't give you my computer, but I can sell you a print. Have you had that where someone like called you up and were like, dude, I need this? Like, maybe with your dungeon master that came.
Oh, yeah, promo. that was really exciting because you could tell like people's love for that really came through. And like a lot of people, that was the first one where I immediately got messages like, is there an original? Which sadly, I do all my stuff digital.
Sure.
These days, I do have original sketches that I try and make available as often as I can.
Sure.
But yeah, it's so crazy that people are so into like this thing, and like that I get people asking for like I signed a few cards in the mail already, and that was like such a, it's like, I don't know if I'm ever gonna get used to that. Like, it's so So weird.
When one day you're going to have a pile of like 40 letters for like signed cards, and then it's just like, oh, this is less awesome now. But, right. But I mean,
that's your cards.
Right. No kidding. Because it's just a matter of time before they just stack cumulative. And then you just have a pile of like artist proofs that you're like, oh boy, it's just, there's so many of them now. Or you can make a deck of your own card art. Like, how could that not be a goal of yours?
Yeah, that's cool. You'll like that. That's a fun thing to do.
Yeah,
I have an ant deck, and it's awesome. It is terrible. Oh, nice. It's an awful five-color mess. It is a hot mess, and it's a Highlander deck. Oh my god, it's awful. It's so bad.
That sounds awfully great.
It's like super swingy of just like really good Amonkhet God, really bad limited terrible card. Like it's all over the place. But whatever.
So if people wanted to get an artist proof from you,
mm-hmm.
say they'd like to get one, I'm assuming that they can of anything other than one card, correct?
Yes. Everything, I have my proofs available through my website. It's artburns.blogspot.com. I'm working on getting an actual website up and running, but
due to the
day job and then, you know, the magic at night, like, it's hard to find, like, I want to try and find time to live, like, other sort of regular life in between.
You'll have to outsource it to somebody eventually. They're like, listen, I'll give you like 20 artist proofs and you're going to make me a website.
Yeah.
Figure out a better deal.
I'll just hire someone to go to the movies for me and then I'll make the website.
I'm available. Yeah, yeah. Available for that.
we'll talk, yeah. But yeah, to go back to the signatures and stuff though, like, it's a really great reminder of like how people connect with the game, like how the work you create for Magic, like people get really invested in it, and it's like it can be their entire experience in some ways. So like,
how do you mean?
I really like people get they'll see like an artwork or like even just a detail in something. It can be like the flavor text or just like a design of something, and like it doesn't even matter what the card does, and like that'll be the thing that like really makes the game special to them. It's just those little things that elevate it beyond just the card game.
Sure. I'm sure you're gonna find that three-headed goblin that someone's gonna be like, oh, I work in a mechanical shop and I have a wrench that looks like that, and I have two brothers, and this reminds me of that. Like that sort of unique, weird story, that seems like it probably is going to be coming out more and more. Maybe you set up a desk at a GP, and then you're going to hear stories about the Dungeon Master for like an hour.
Yeah.
Probably is going to be coming, and they're going to say, who's this guy? Is this you? Is this reference? Like, how did you paint this little guy? But that's why it's unfortunate you didn't get artist proofs. Like, that's like,
yeah. Dang. Well, the thing for that is it's not an actual Magic card, so that it's kind of an in-between, like, it doesn't have a Magic back, so it doesn't actually count as a Magic card, I'm pretty sure.
Right.
So.
And there's like, what, 3, 5, yeah. Something like that?
I'll be lucky if I ever see one, like, in existence ever.
You'll have to, like, visit Renton one day, and then you'll have to sign one or something like that.
Yeah. I did think it was funny. They had like some of the people they gave them to, their names were on the card, and one of them was another Mike, and so it said like their name. It said Mike, like for Mike, and then by Mike. And I was like, this might be the most Mike card ever. So.
That's pretty decent. I'm into that. So are you working on some future things? I'd hope right now.
I definitely have stuff in the pipeline. I can't say any more than that right now.
That's all we'd like to hear. That, you know, that more things are coming in the near future, hopefully. Yeah, I mean, obviously you have unsets that leapfrog each other, which is like, what do you do? Okay, so say someone wants to follow up. pick up, you mentioned your website, but where else do you find yourself online?
I'm pretty active on Instagram as Mike Burns Art. It's kind of hard to find just my name, so you'll find like different combinations of like most of my, like, I think Twitter and Instagram are both at Mike Burns Art. So
B-U-R-N-S. We can find you easily here. Mm-hmm. Anthony, what else do you see in this unset that you want to mention?
In this unset in particular?
Yep. It's timely. God,
man. There's so much going on here that I just love. In particular, I love the whole group of Rakdos Dastardly Doom legends. Like,
sure.
They're so fun.
I cannot wait to just sit around and draft this set. Mike, you and I got to get together and draft, man. You're only an hour away. Yeah. You should draft this set. For real.
Yeah, I have three boxes on the way, so I'll be down to draft.
With some beer. Just tell me.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
You two can hang out and make that happen. And I'd like to see that happen more often. If there's an artist that wants to play, like, there needs to be like an all call to be like, all right, someone bring over chicken wings and you're going to draft with me. I'm going to sign every time my card comes up, though. Real talk. Like, how fun. Yeah, if it's a common, you're going to sign in a lot if you crack the box. I forgot about that. Ant, you live like
an hour, like an hour away.
Like a throwing distance away. You East Coasters all live in this, like, right next to each other. I forget that.
Yeah, and we just moved into a nice, spacious new apartment. So, with two other people who play Magic. So, we've already got most of a draft. Yeah. Yep. Sounds like a knife.
Sounds good to me.
That's
own kind of a incredible. Vehicle.
I would be hopping on a bus or something.
Fair. Well, Mike, congrats on making it in and getting a ton of cards in the unset.
Thank you so much. They're fun.
They're fun. For people that don't know, that you did have a style guide. You did have things to base this on.
Right.
The first time ever for an unset to actually have background on. Mm-hmm. And, man, I'm jealous that you got to read all that weird stuff in there. Like,
oh, yeah.
Guides are very serious. They're very background heavy, and this is weird dog, super weird dog, the whole thing. And you got to have that and soak up all the craziest ideas that didn't see print. So jealous.
Mm-hmm. The great thing about the style guide is, like, as you read it, it's laid out like very like explaining everything, but it's like super goofy.
Every faction you got to see in every aspect of it. And you even got a couple in different areas, too. Like, as we get to see that you had, you know, more than one faction represented, which is great that you weren't just in one group. So if you build different decks, you may see a contraption in one build you'll see different aspects of it. Make some goblin, you know, party crashing. So we'll follow up, clearly. We'll post some things. Please keep posting art of the unset.
Absolutely.
Especially as they have alternate artworks, Anthony, which you found out. we'll follow up with you on Twitter. Ant, got anything else before we go?
So final thing is, I just want to say, Skull Saucer, A+, man. Zombie head and a UFO, loved it.
I want to see someone play Skull Saucer and Handy Dandy Clone Machine at the same time.
Oh,
Just with their head on the table.
And with the thing? Oh, man. All right. We got to do it. You know what's going to be my goal? This is how we're going to close the episode right here. All right. So I'm going to draft this set with Mike. And I'm going to make sure that he plays both Skull Saucer and Handy Dandy Clone Machine so that I can take a picture of the OG homunculi hand walking around on top of his own head.
Let's make it happen. Yeah, like, for sure.
If there isn't a hashtag that emerges for people that do that, like head plus hand, and then you tag Mike Burns, it needs to happen. Like, for the next like month and a half, everyone that does it should just tag you in things. Just every time. would be
I would love that.
Amazing. So. That may happen. Yeah, I may just
do
that.
I think we should just start that right now.
Yeah, I really just can't wait to
see
all the
like
goofy
how people
stuff
they plank. They call it planking. We could call it burnsing. Yeah, if you have your head on the table and you have your hand. Like, oh, I'm burnsing. Hashtag burnsing. Oh,
God. Sounds legit.
That's going to be a thing. Well, Mike, thanks so much for stopping by. Appreciate it huge. We'll definitely be yapping about you constantly, especially as your art gets rolled out and we draft it ourselves.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And
it's a joy to be on the show.
All the viewers that came in, thanks for watching today, and we'll be back soon.